ascend. So, and Galatians chapter 1 verses 4 said that Jesus came, amen, and paid the price for us so that God can deliver us from the evil that is present in this era, in this age. And Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, John 10, that you may have life and have it in its fullness and have an abundant life. John 3:16 says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, look at scripture and then try to interpret scripture. If we just took one of those scriptures, like John 3:16, and said, okay, God, Jesus came that we may have eternal life, not perish, but have eternal life, then yes, then it'd be logical, especially with today's influence in the world, to think that eternal life is something, okay, when I die, I'm going to live forever. Amen? But how many people know when you're studying the Word of God, we also have to qualify things and validate Scripture and allow other Scriptures to interpret the Scriptures. Not to be, well, this is what I think it means. We have to qualify things, prove things, amen, so that the Word of, so that what we interpret and or believing that what we interpret or think it means, we have to make sure it means that, because we are coming from a totally different place and we're in a different age and a different era where we are reading something. We need to understand that languages change and literature changes. And eternal life, biblical eternal life, when scripture is lined up against ever scripture, it means it is not limited, amen, to something, an event taking place after we die. As far as God is concerned, amen, when you get saved and you come to know God, bam, eternal life starts straight away. You start to live a totally different life. You get to walk around and tell people, you know what, I'm not about that life, I'm about this life. Are you hearing me? And then there are certain benefits, amen, and there's certain features and generally the church knows the features, but there's certain benefits that come with eternal life. And you see how when Jesus demonstrated these benefits, what it is to live an eternal life, a life fuse, a life in relationship with God. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus, he got out of a boat. Anybody here in a boat and walked on water? Are you hearing me? He walked up to situations and circumstances that were dead, amen, and stones put there. And he began to call things. Come on, somebody. He began to call things and says, call things by the name, and they came back alive again. He walked up to situations and circumstances where there was no hope. And how many know that is a representative, that is an example of eternal life. Living, I'm about that type of life, where you got situations and circumstances and you're not allowing the old life, which says that something dead can't live again, the old life that says that something that's broken, busted and disgusted cannot be of worth again, that so the old life that says, you know what, when it's done, it can't change. Are you hearing me? Amen. Jesus was about demonstrating what it is to have a relationship with God and live a certain type. You know what eternal life is? It's quality. But the church, we have traditionally limited eternal life to being about quantity. How long? But I want to tell you something. And I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says it's quality as well as quantity. And you don't have to wait to die to get the quality. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. So if we're going to tell people and demonstrate and preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus, the gospel of salvation, and we're gonna for want of trying to communicate, if you're gonna tell someone and sell someone a product, a lifestyle, shouldn't we first be using it? Amen. Shouldn't we first know the ins and outs instead of just telling people about the features? Shouldn't we also know and experience the benefits of it and be able to demonstrate it? Because then it will make us more. That's why you probably don't see so many of our brothers and sisters out on the streets. or in their workplace or on their job or in the school, in their families, telling people about the goodness, about the gospel of salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. Maybe the church's understanding of eternal life and its benefits and have not really been clarified for us, ourselves. Not you, I'm not. Just solely me. Come on, somebody. Amen? So where we're at to now is that eternal life is knowing God. Not just knowing about God. The fundamental difference between knowing about God and knowing God is about personal relationship. This is what Jesus is talking about. He wants people, amen, to have a personal, intimate relationship. Somebody say, knowing God. Knowing God, because God is a person. I know I use the word, but he's not a product, he's not a thing, he is a person. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I said, God is a person. The Holy Spirit, he is a person. He is not a it. Are you hearing me? He is a person. Jesus Christ is a person. Amen. The Bible tells us that they are one, three in one. That's why we say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit, he is a person. And we have an eternal life is knowing God. Knowing, somebody say knowing. Not knowing about. Not knowing about. Eternal life is to be able, knowing is to be able to experience God. Experience. To encounter God. To engage God. And likewise, God wants to encounter you and me. To experience you and me. To engage you and me. Oh, geez. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to go somewhere today, and I would like to teach you today, but I don't think, amen, I'm going to be able to teach you today, because I have it on good authority, the Holy Spirit. He says, today is not a day where you're going to get taught. What's going to happen today, you're going to have to catch something. They say that some things are taught, but some things are what? Caught. Are you hearing me? So have you got your the mitts, you know, those catching hands in your heart. Amen. You're going to have to catch something today. Amen. You're going to have to catch it. Don't expect me to be dissecting Greek and Hebrew and this lexicon and all that kind of stuff. When I put my foot down on the pedal in a few minutes, amen, that shit, it's catching season. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said it's catching season. Amen. And that's between you and the Holy Ghost. Tell your neighbor, I'm ready to catch something. Amen. You're going to have to catch it. Something's going to have to just lodge in your heart and your mind. And when you catch it, just say, amen, I got that one. Oh, come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, it's catching season. I'm going to catch something. All right, come on, say amen. All right, praise the Lord. Matthew 7, Jesus 21 to 23, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in that day. Hey, you know what? People will come, and he says, well, they come and they say, I've done this and I've done that. He's going to say, you know what? I didn't even know you. I never knew you. How many people know Jesus is about knowing you? He wants to know you. Oh, geez. And to be known of you. Somebody say, no. So our faith, eternal life, is not just about knowing about God. It's about knowing God. How can we distinguish the difference between knowing and not knowing about? Do you remember when we were younger? We went home from school. Those of us who went to school, and some of us used to skip school. Hello, and it goes. And my mom would go. What did you learn today? You ever got asked that question? Yeah, and then we'll rattle off all they taught. How many people know? The real question should have been, "What did?" They would say, "What did they teach you today?" No, what did you learn today? And I'll say, oh, mass and English and this and that. But the truth is, I didn't learn all that. That's what we got taught. It should have been, what were you taught today? Because I don't even know there's a big, distinct difference between being taught something and what we learn. Yeah? Is that right or wrong? Come on, help me out. Is that right or wrong? Amen. Did you learn everything that you were taught? but you were taught a lot. Amen. But you did. So it, that, see, the big, there's a big difference. Amen. And it's like it's similar to saying that you know God or you know about God. They're two very distinct things. And I like this one. I know you girls like this one too. It's a big difference to know. To know what you should do to lose weight and get back a six pack. Come on, guys, say amen. But I'm not experiencing it right now. I haven't encountered it yet right now. I know about it, amen. But the reality of it, I can't see manifesting right now. Come on, somebody, say amen. If it hurts, say ouch. Jesus said this. So to engage God is, this is how Jesus says. He says to the, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he says, to the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He says, you've got to hold. So, okay, let's liken it this way, okay? He says, let me just change up a bit. To Robert, who wants to get a six-pack, if you hold to my training, my teaching, if you hold to it, not just know about it, if you hold to it, you'll know the truth, and then you'll be able to just open your shirt and see six-pack. You get me? You got to know something, hold to it, engage it, experience it, and he said that truth that you hold to, it will liberate, it will set you free. In other words, there's something to grasp about God, which will then reveal or manifest destiny, divine destiny. Sometimes we pray for things. We want to see this or we want to see that. So the things that we pray for are many times things that God wants to do in our life. It's the truth. The things that we hope for, the things that God has spoken to you about your life, what should be, what is and what can be or what should be, is truth. Because God don't lie. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the things that he said you can be and accomplish is a truth. And he says if we hold to this, if we hold to it, and not just know about it, but if we participate in some degree of engaging it and allow that truth to experience us and we experience it, then we will see the fruit of it. Amen. You want to get healed? Hold to the truth. You want to get delivered? Hold to the truth. You want to be used of God mightily and see souls and salvation to your household and to ever generations. There's something to hold to and experience. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. Again, I'm just going to just lay the foundation before us, the Holy Ghost starts to throw what needs to be caught. Amen. John 15, Jesus says this. He says, listen. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you. So here is this relationship again. This thing. He said, listen, it's not just about, come and know when you get saved, Jesus is in us. Oh, gosh, where are my Bible students? They're not here today, eh? Amen? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Corinthians 6:19, amen? Amen? Who is from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Are you hearing me? So, he dwells in us. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. All right? And Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here he's saying, listen, if you stay inside of me and I in you, then that's when things are going to be fruitful. How many people know Jesus don't leave us nor forsake us? So the only person here, sometimes if we're not seeing fruit that we need to see in our lives, it can't be because Jesus is not in us. Because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never lets go. Could it be that we forsake him? Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. So again, there's this intimacy that is being alluded to, this relationship, this grasping and this holding to. This just holding to and staying and remaining and abiding. Verse 6 says, If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. You dry up. Woo! Praise the Lord. You get thrown in the fire and burned. You just dry up. So you're like a branch. Amen. And so I don't even know, we have to remain, abide in and stay in relationship and intimacy with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He says, verse 7 says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Somebody say remain. That word remain, it's talking about an abiding. An abiding. How many people know for most believers or unbelieving believers, the only time the word remains in them is when they're awake on a Sunday morning. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, I'm telling you how it is. All right, but he says, listen, if you want to be fruitful, it can't be just Sunday for you. There has to be this a living and abiding relationship, because you get some people, right? You get some people they're waiting on God. They get saved. God's inside of them, but they're not inside of God. But yet they're waiting for God to do something. They're waiting for fruit. They're waiting for some type of manifestation. They're waiting for a miracle of God to happen in their life. And they're talking about, they just know about God, but they're not knowing God. There's no intimacy. There's no relationship. There's no connection. Are you hearing me? But yet they want to have babies with God, because that's what knowing takes. Intimacy, amen, will bring forth life, will bring the results, will bring fruitfulness. That is knowing. This is good stuff, man, because we need to, because I mean, no, God wants us to be fruitful. Oh, Lord, tell us he wants us to be fruitful. And then when we're not, and listen, let me tell you something, then you get a lot of saints, amen, a lot of Christians praying stuff that ain't even of God. They're praying, well, I've been praying, and nothing's happening. You know why nothing ain't happening? Because they're not remaining in him. Because when you remain in him and he's inside of you, the Bible tells you, it's because then your prayer life, what you ask for, how you pray, is influenced via your relationship. It's called being in the spirit. A lot of people pray in the flesh. Amen. They pray according to how they see or think or discern their need is. But true prayer is spiritual prayer. It is a prayer that is influenced and inspired via a relationship with God. You didn't hear me, man. That's why those people that you're in the flesh and you're in the flesh. Hey, man, what that means, you hear people say, let's get in the spirit. How people know to transact with God, you have to be in the spirit. Amen. To have a move of God, because God is a spirit. And those who worship him or in relationship him must worship him in what? Spirit and what? Truth. And sometimes we like to get in the spirit, but we're not informed of the truth. Are you hearing me? That's why we're sticklers here, man. When we sing songs or we do it, we want to know why those words ought to mean something to you and I. We don't just want to sing and have a good time and it's a good beat, that one, you know. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want the words to mean something to me, because true worship will come from the heart. Are you hearing me? Hebrews 11:3 says, while we've got to be in the spirit, says that it's that by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, and the things which are seen were not made by things which are seen, but by things that are unseen. Yeah. So in other words, it's this unseen, this spiritual realm is the parent realm. The superior is the parent of everything that you see. It's telling us that for things to happen and manifest or to take place in this seen realm, in this world, it has to be birthed or inspired, amen, from the spirit realm. And the only way we can tap in and take advantage of the spirit realm is through God. It's through God. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. That's eternal life, when you have a relationship with God. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You and I become fused. We have a relationship with God. That faith that links you with God. That faith is that capacity for you to believe. Amen. And have a relationship and engage God is the thing that gives you and I the ability to call those things that aren't as though they are. That's eternal living. Amen. You see something and it shouldn't be like that. And according to you and your relationship with God, you know what? In the name of Jesus, this is what it should be. In the name of Jesus, this is what it's going to be. And this is how it is. Are you hearing me? All right. That's something you got to catch, by the way. Hallelujah. So there's this, where we have to have an abiding relationship with God to see results. Now, this is why, back to the opening scripture here, this is why Paul, let's look at verse 7. Paul says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. I consider, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So last week we spoke about comfort zones, and we spoke about how Paul had all these praise and accolades and plaudits and this history and this legacy and this heritage, and how he knew this person and he was born into this hierarchy and he had this going on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many know the things that we can have in life, amen, can build us up and lend esteem to us? How much money we got, or the things that we haven't got, amen, could pull us down, amen, and lower our esteem. And but this is what Paul's talking about. He said, listen, whatever I'm not going to have confidence in the flesh. I'm not going to rely on the things in this world. And we spoke about comfort zones last week. And sometimes a comfort zone is not just a comfort zone. It's something, a way of life, a way of behaving, a way of responding, a way of acting, or a way of feeling that you and I have become familiar with. We've always been this way. We've always felt this way. We've always reacted. And that has become a comfort zone. Even if the comfort zone is not good for you and it hurts you, don't tell me you don't know people that are still drinking and smoking and doing things that is damaging them, but because they've always done it all of their lives, they're finding it hard to break away from it. That is a comfort zone or a familiar zone. And what Paul is saying here now, he says, listen, these things that are familiar to me, these things that are a comfort to me, these things that I have relied upon, the stimuli of this world, it hinders and it frustrates me from seeing God move in my life. It hinders and it frustrates me, amen, from knowing God. Because what Paul is telling us here, to know God, to see a move of God, to see, how many people need a miracle in your life? You want to see miracles in your life. How many of you, guess what? How many of us know that we should be living a miracle life? Amen. Jesus said that these signs and wonders will follow those who what? Who believe in my name. That should be the life that you and I should be living. Amen. Somebody in your workplace has got a headache. You say, come here. Let me pray for you. Somebody's got a problem with their children. Let me pray for you. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs it. Somebody is troubled. And God gives you a word. The type of life that the Christian that is abiding and living and in relationship with God should be one. I got a word for you. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says you should do. And this is what the Lord says you should go. And such. That is, come on, somebody. That's Holy Ghost living. That's relationship alive. Amen. Jesus on your mind. Amen. You are connected to the spirit realm. You're speaking things. You're doing things. That is eternal life. You know that you can get down on your knees and you sense and feel something is taking place in somebody's life. Come on, somebody, or in some young person, some old person. You can pray for them. You can see someone and you feel a little nudge because you're in the spirit. Go and talk to that person. They're a strength. Are you hearing me? That's eternal living. That's an example of eternal life. And Paul is saying, listen, and it comes from doing what? Knowing God. Knowing God. Engaging God. Encountering God. Experiencing God. That is eternal life. And Paul says, listen, there's things in my life, amen, that I have to say are rubbish. This is rubbish. He's saying there's things in my life I've got to cut away from. There are things in my life I'm not going to rely on. Are you hearing me? He says, whatever were gains to me, I now consider, because he realizes, hang on a minute, I got to know God. He realizes I can't know God in my comfort zone. I can't know God in the areas where I am familiar. Oh, geez. How many of us like being uncomfortable? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's not nice at all. You know, sometimes I have to tell some of you, come out here and you're preaching next week. We won't see you for 6 months. Because that's just like a foreign, that's like going into foreign land. Amen. If I told you that next week I'm leading praise and worship, I won't see you for 6 months. Because I make things real uncomfortable in here. Praise the Lord. Amen. But Paul says, listen, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul saying, no more comfort zones for me. No more these familiar things. We need to pray that we recognize, first and foremost, what our comfort zones are, where God is calling us to. What is a familiar behavior or attitude or response that is stopping us from knowing God? Are you hearing me? All right. Paul says in verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Come on, Shannon, you can come on up. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Are you hearing me? He says, I want to know, what does he say? I want to know Christ. So he's saying, listen, I want to encounter God. I want to experience God. I want to experience this truth. How many of you got dreams and vision for your life? Hallelujah. You know what? Let me tell you something, guys. I don't say, this is good, you know. Because this is something that you're going to have to go home and live out. Rather than go home and say that powerful message. And it ain't got no power in your life, really. Yeah, the Bible says that God's strength is what? Made what? Perfect. In our what? Weakness. Amen. So God is looking for a place in our lives to demonstrate and show himself strong through our lives, our weakness. Typically, what church has become for many, not all, is a place of entertainment. A place of show, because we've been conditioned that way. We watch the movies. Amen? And we go and watch the movies and none of us, we go and watch the Avengers and none of us go home and then try and do Spider-Man and swing from, amen? Because we're conditioned to just watch stuff, enjoy it, and then wait for the next what? Yeah? Wait for part two. Are you hearing me? Okay? What do we usually say? Oh, that's a powerful word, man. Good word, man. Ooh, I felt that. Ooh. Yeah? Then you have a dry week. Yeah? End up having a dry week. And then what? Drag ourselves back on the Sunday. Oh, looking for a powerful word. Let me tell you something. You should always hear God. And just because the word is full of power, God's word is always full of power, but it's not always powerful. What makes it powerful is if we allow the word to have its way in our lives. Are you hearing me? It's always full of power, but it's hardly ever powerful unless we allow it to be powerful. Amen. So that's why we need to have these ears on in our lives. So Paul says, I want to know Christ. He says, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. And so he says, I want to encounter him. I want to experience him. He says, because he knows that Jesus got up from the dead. He knows that Jesus was dead 3 days. He knows this. He says, I want to experience that kind of power that will see a man rise from the dead. I want to experience that kind of power that will see God's spirit move in him. He was crucified. Come on, blood flowed out of him, wrapped up and put inside a cave, but yet somehow this power stirred him and wakened him. And quicker, are you apostles? I want to see that power. I want to see that power at work. And then he even goes and says, listen, I'm not just interested in the power. I want to know. I want to have a relationship with this God, this eternal life. He says, even to the point where he is in me and I am in him. He says, I want to share, participate in his suffering. I want to get this struggle on. I want to see what it's like to be like Jesus and Jesus inside of me. Because let me tell you something, Jesus knew how to grind. He knew how to press. Let me tell you, when I think about the life this man had to live, man, that's, come on, somebody. that he knew how, man. He knew. The Urban Dictionary says this. We commonly understand from the Collins and the Oxford Dictionary, the word grind is like to grind up something and make it into small little bits. But these days, the language has changed a bit, and we understand it now to mean that when an individual pushes his or herself to attain a goal, you just stick with it because you want to see this goal. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You just stick with it, man. You. And Paul calls it, Paul says, I'm going to press. I'm going to press until I see that child saved. I'm going to press until I see that deliverance. I'm going to press until I see that healing. I'm going to press until we start seeing streams of young men and young women and old men and old women coming to the house of the Lord and being saved. He says, listen, that's I'm going to pray. And this is what Jesus had going on. Living this perfect life, having this vision. You got a vision? God giving you a vision? You got a hope, a dream, aspiration? Something, I like how he said this. He says, I want to know, verse 12 says, not that I've already attained all this or I've already arrived at my goal. You got a goal. He says, I press to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. In other words, Jesus grabbed a hold of you for relationship now. For relationship now and relationship happening and to see some results, some goals, some fruit from our lives, from this relationship. Are you hearing me? There's a reason. Paul says, I'm going to press to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. In other words, He's rescued me with a purpose in mind, with a destiny in mind. I ain't just saved for the sake of being saved to hang around and wait until I die to have this type of eternal life. No, He rescued me now to have eternal life. Now there's something. He rescued me to know me and for me to know Him. And the fruit of my relationship with Him is going to influence this generation, this world. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we were singing a song earlier, what was that song we were singing? And it says, and Merlin was getting right down it. Yes, He is. Yes. A young girl that, you know. She was going, yes, He is. Yes, He is. You know, man, I said, yeah, yes, He is. Because hear what? When you're praising God, and this is what Paul's talking about, you know. As far as Paul is concerned, because he's in the spirit, God saved him for now, past, present, and so Paul's seeing everything. He sees the salvations. He sees the breakthrough of the people. He sees the breakthrough for their families. He sees the influence of the life of his life. He probably saw the Bible being written, and you and I reading his letters 2,000 years later. He sees influence of his life. He says, nah, there's more to my life. Are you hearing me? He sees vision. I don't know what kind of aspirations some of you got, but you've got aspirations, you've got hopes, you've got dreams, and if you don't have, so when we're praising God anyway, and we're saying, yes, He is, we got to start seeing what is destined has already happened now. You understand? So when you're praising God, you're not praising God waiting for something. You do that when you're in the flesh. But when you're in the spirit, you're praising God and you're thanking God. Yeah, amen. Because you see it already happened. That's why you say, yes, He is. Not yes, He will be. Are you hearing me? I hope you caught that because I ain't going to teach it. Are you hearing me? You praise Him. You bless Him. The life, when you pray as things are happening now. When you press, when you live, when you get your grind on for Jesus Christ, when you live the life, you're envisioning everything. Everything. This is not you, come on, son, you're envisioning it all. You got a ministry, you gotta envision the ministry's growth. Amen. It's growth, not just its growth, but it's multiplication. Come on, somebody. Multi-sites. Are you hearing me? You've got to envision your household salvation. You've got to envision your business and your career and your education and your children. Let me tell you something. Listen, when you're in the spirit, you're supposed to bring your whole house. Everything to do with you, amen, under the banner of your faith. When Rahab was behind those walls, come on, somebody, and she knew that God was coming to tear down some walls, she went and got her whole house, amen, under her roof. Come on, somebody. Now, I know that in the natural, we can't put everybody underneath our roof, but you have a faith that can cover people. You have a faith that can cover a generation. And come on, somebody. And that's why you got to say, you know, you got to see that. And Paul said, I'm going to press. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to hold to God until I and engage him and realize him. And there'll be times when I'm holding God, when I'm going to suffer and it's going to feel like it's not happening. But don't worry. I'm going to take that to me like, yeah, Jesus, I know what it's like when you lived the life, when you hung on the cross for me. You thought that you may have thought at times that this is pretty hard and you're not going to make it. But if Jesus can do it, he gives you and I the strength to do it. And guess what? And when you're doing that and you see breakthrough happening and you see resurrection power flowing in you. There's this thing about being a Christian. You can get knocked down 7 times. But the Bible says that what proves a man of God? What proves the woman of God in the world? If you get knocked down and you fail, they say, forget him. Come on, somebody. But in the kingdom, what proves that you are anointed? What proves that you have the grace of God upon your life is the ability to get back up. To get back up. To get back up. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that if the devils and the demons had known what was going to transpire, that they would have never have crucified the Son of Glory. Amen? They would have never messed with him. They would have never killed him. They would have never buried him. They would have never crucified him. Why don't you let the devil know that he should have never, never, never put his hands on your life. Never. Put his hands on your children. Never put his hands, come on somebody, on your city. Never, never. That's what you call letting the devil have regrets. Giving the devil nightmares. Look how this child of God is getting back up and fighting the good fight of faith. Look how this child of God is not giving up. Oh, come on somebody, say amen. Are you catching this? Are you catching this? Are you catching this? Paul said, not that I've already. Paul said, I don't care what I feel. If I feel power and I feel good, I'm pressing. If it feels horrible and it feels bad and I'm suffering, I'm pressing. Because all I press, it helps me to realize and to see God and to hold to him. And how many people know when you hold to the truth sets you free. Destinies will begin to unfold. Your destiny, oh Lord, have mercy. The things you thought would never be, you start seeing them release. Woo! You don't want them people over here just praying for it. No, 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 I'm praying for it, and yet you don't want to step out. Come on, somebody. You know, over here, and but know what God says that he'll make the lips of a stammerer speak plainly. You know, some stammerers, man, they're stammering. Or your money may be stammering. Come on, somebody. Your career may be stammering. Whatever. So sometimes you just gotta get out there and stammer. I don't care what anybody says. Are you hearing me? You just gotta do it. It may look bad. Amen. Sometimes you can't be too concerned. What? Listen, haters gonna hate. Amen. But you keep walking, you turn their minds, you make them appreciate. Are you hearing me? You can't be overly concerned of what people are going to say, what they're going to do, and this and that. Listen, you know them. And they know you. They can't help you. By now, you must realize that people have an opinion of you and what you're doing and what you're up to, what you're not to, doesn't help you one bit. Paul said, I want to know God. I want to know God. I want to know him. I want to experience him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I want to know him. 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 I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Are you hearing me? I want to know him. I know he says, whatever things will get, you know what, my friendship with you and our familiarity with rubbish. Yeah, yeah. You liking me and me, you allow me and let me be part of the gang and being in the clique. Hello? Rubbish. Come on, somebody. Rubbish. Rubbish. Listen, I'm willing to lose you. I'm willing to lose that. And I'm willing to give that up. Whatever it takes to know him. Come on, somebody. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. There's some people and some things you're going to have to say, rubbish. Come on, somebody. Some relationships you're going to have to say, rubbish. Come on, somebody. There's some attitudes, how you might behave and react and respond. I'm talking about, mama, this is the way I was. This is the way I raised. I don't care. Listen, you're going to say, rubbish. You're going to have to change some things. You're going to have to give up some things. One of the things you're going to have to give up is the right to be right. Oh, you didn't hear me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The right to be right, because you've hung on to that like it's bread and butter, like it's fresh air. You've lived off it. Amen. But when you want to walk with God, God will say sometimes you just got to give up your right to be right and turn the ever cheek and walk the extra mile if you want to see the power of God moving you. I hope you caught that. That was something to catch. There's a man called Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. I am not going to read the scripture, amen, for want of time. But it says that this blind man, this man that didn't have no vision, couldn't see the way forward. Bible says that when he heard that God was in town, when he heard that Jesus was there, he started shouting, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then the Bible says that the disciples, amen, they gathered around and said, listen, shut up. You're keeping too much noise. Quiet down. Pipe down, mate. Amen. And the Bible says, listen, he shouted even the more louder. You see, that's the problem with the church people. Yeah? Some of us ain't making no noise. Yeah, you on the job and you quiet. You're in your house and you're quiet. Are you hearing me? You walk in the street and you're not making no noise. Come on, somebody. You're at school and your career and you're just too quiet. The Bible says that Mark Bartimaeus knew that God was there for him. Come on, somebody. That there was an anointing and there was a grace for a miracle to happen. But as long as God was over there and he was over here, come on, somebody, weren't nothing happening. And said he started shouting, Jesus, Jesus, he started making some noise. I don't know what type of noise you got to make. But noise for you might maybe a different type of noise for somebody else. That's between you and the Holy Ghost. You can catch that later. But the Bible says, people say, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Listen, that's the fact. I love him. You got eyes and you can see. And here's me, ain't got no eyes. Oh, Lord, you didn't catch that. And you who can see is telling me who can't see to be quiet? Hell no. Hell no. Rubbish. Jesus. Let me tell you, he pressed into his Jesus. Come on, somebody. And Jesus called him and he received sight. Now he can say, I know the God who helps me to see. He had to step into an area of his life of unfamiliarity. You have to walk through some hate. Come on, somebody. Walk through some trials. Oh, you didn't hear me. All right, let me see if we get some more Bible. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And talks about this woman who had an issue with blood. She was bleeding for many, many, many years. Imagine life just flowing out of you. Years are going on. And you may not be bleeding blood. But you're bleeding something. There's something flowing out of you. There's something taking place in your life and it's just flowing out of you. Flowing out of you. You're losing life. You're losing vitality. You're losing energy. You're just existing but not living. That is the type of life God's called you to just exist. God didn't even call you to, he didn't even call you to live unless it's abundant living. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Are you hearing me? You're now supposed to be on some, as the youth would say, some next level thing. Amen? Tell your neighbor, I'm on a next level thing. Amen? It's called eternal life. We're supposed to be living on the next level. Man, some of us are bleeding. Man, we're walking wounds. Bleeding. Hurting. Desperate. But this woman said, you know what? Bible tells us that she perceived in herself that said, no, if I could just touch him. The Bible says there was a crowd of people pressed around him. And she stood over here and she said, if I could just touch him. If I could just touch him. If I could just fight my way through. And touch, just not even touch him. Just touch something that he's wearing. If I could just make that critical and crucial connection with him, I'll be healed. I'll be healed. How many of you are bleeding somewhere in your life? You've been bleeding and bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. And you've fallen for this lie. You've been deceived. Hello. Or is it just me? That this is how life should be. And you just got to get on with it. And make best. And do the best. I like this woman. She pressed in. She pressed, not just pressed in, she pressed through. But tell us to find ourselves, amen, to press out of our bed and find pick up the Bible and read the Word of God and spend some time with God and press in on Monday, Tuesday, or what? Come on, can I go there right now? But yet we want to be healed, but yet we want to see miracles, but we got a problem with that. Tell us to switch off, just press in and switch off the TV. Press in and read a devotion. Press in and come off of that social media for a few hours. We got a problem for that. But we want to see God. Amen? I got to go there, man. I got to go there for your sake and my sake. We got more of the world going on in our lives, church, than God going on. We know the world better than we know God. Who you know is who you produce. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, all right. Last but not least, there's this guy called Naaman. Somebody say Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5. And the Bible says that he was like a commander, a warrior, a soldier for his king. But he had this condition, he had this leprosy. This condition of leprosy which no one knew about. Said one person who was very, 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 very close to him. One person who had the kind of access to his life. And they noticed, hey, this, my Lord, he has a condition. He's hiding it. And she says to him, listen, you need to go and see a man of God. You need to go and see a prophet of God. Amen. That's the 2 Kings 5. And verse 9 says, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Oh, somebody say horses and chariots. You know that's the way we come to church, isn't it? All suited and booted. Got your horses and chariots. Horses and chariots, woo, looking all good and traditional on the outside, but on the inside we're like dead man's bones. Come on, somebody, like a graveyard. But we got our horses and chariots. That's how Naaman showed up at the house of God. Had on his armor. We got our armor on. Come on, horses and chariots. So it says, Naaman stopped at Elisha's doors with his horses and chariots. And then the man of God comes out and says to him, so he's got this condition. Now the guy comes out, the man of God sends a messenger to him. His servant says, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed. Go and wash yourself 7 times where? In the Jordan. So he's telling him, go into the Jordan, go into the river and dip. How many times? 7 times. All right. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in verse 11 that Naaman went away angry. Now this is a story here that typifies you and me. come to God. Horses and chariots look good, trash and ready, traffic stopping. And hear something, get told something, and then we go on the way, because we're angry. Where are you going first? Where are you going? You come to God to get help. It never worked the way you wanted it to work. It didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. And you're chatting about... Where are you going? Who else can help us? Huh? Because you never heard what you wanted to hear the way you wanted to hear it. You didn't get treated the way you thought you should be treated or respected the way you should be respected. After all, you come with your horse and chariot. Eh? Isn't that how we come to God? Eh? No, we come into the house of God with some mighty expectations and high thoughts about ourselves. Praise the Lord. Now, we've had people come into churches want to take over the church. And as soon as you put your foot down, I say, ain't no good, sir. You won't come and change things. No, you're supposed to come and let him change you. And as soon as you give people a bit of play, you know, and then as soon as you say, you know what, nah, this is getting a bit too far. That's it. Vex gone. But you came to be cleansed. You came to be healed. And the man of God says, go into the Jordan and dip 7 times. So watch this. So Naaman went away angry. Yeah, I thought he would come out and just wave his hands over me and I'll be healed. We have our expectations of how God should work his miracles. I once heard Jesus heal a guy, made a blind man see by spitting in his eye. Anybody want to see today? I think I've got that anointing on me right now. Come on. Who's wearing glasses? Right now. Listen, I give you the opportunity to get rid of them glasses right now. Yeah? No laser surgery. No contact lenses. Come see me right here, right now. Feel this anointing. Everybody. All right. God heals how you want. Some 10 lepers came up to him. And he just told them, turn around and just go and show yourself to the priest. Didn't touch them, didn't pray for them, just gave them instructions. And the Bible says that as they followed the instructions and walked off, they were healed. He will heal and deliver in a myriad of ways. And what you think is the problem, though, that needs healing might not be what really needs healing. I've learned that sometimes too. God, sort this out. We'll do this. I'm going to do this. Oh, God, you know what? I don't need to sort it out no more. Are you hearing me? So we're going to finish right now. So Naaman went away angry. And this is a big man. This was a big warrior. You know, this is like, you know how some of you guys was, how we was back at, I was this on the street. Yeah? And some of you girls out there, man, out there in school, nobody could mess with you. Yeah? You take off your own wig and fight. Unclip your own nails and kick off shoe. Nobody could mess with you. And you had a mouth that you could run like water. Cuss up every... You just chase up people, boy. Come on, somebody. And us guys, man, we was like... We was bad man this and bad man that. Amen? Come on now. This is what Naaman was like. And now you come to church and you get dealt with a certain way. Now he's upset. Man, I'm leaving the choir. I'm not in the sound no more. I'm not going to help no more, Moose. You ever seen that in church? Yeah? Ain't that what we're like? I've seen so much of that, man. All of a sudden, we turned sissies. We was bad for the... Out there, we was bad for the devil. And we come to God now, we're sissies. Oh, sorry. We have this, like, the sissy nature. Getting all soft and all sissified. Don't get me wrong, that sissy ain't got nothing to do with a woman or a man. It's just us being twisted and wrong. There's male sissies and there's female sissies. Spirits. Ways. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So the guy says to Naaman, he says, Naaman, the guy just tells you to go and get in the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And you got a problem with that? Yeah. If he had, basically he's saying, but If he asks you to go out there and like cause a war and start a fight, you'll be up for it. Amen. And they were saying, "Well, but this is better though. You could have told me to go over there." And you know how we've heard people say. People talk about, "Oh, this could have done this better, could have done that better." But this is what the doctor has prescribed for you. Amen. Whoever's leading you is what the good Lord has prescribed for you. Whoever's upsetting you is what the good Lord has prescribed to you. Are you hearing me? Whoever you're with and working with is what the good Lord has prescribed for you. We're always trying to find better medication. Naaman's servant said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you to wash and be cleansed?" So the Bible says that Naaman went down to the Jordan. Somebody say, "He got in the Jordan." Say, "He got in the Jordan." And that's the thing. We get in the Jordan. We get in the presence of God. But how people know that's not enough? You've got to dip. You've got to dip. You can't just be in the presence of God and not dip. You've got to dip. You've got to dip. Got to dip. You got to take some kind of action, some kind of response, some kind of reaction to where you're at with God, and dip. You got to hear something. You got to. It takes a bit more than just being there. I'm not going to be qualifying that no more. That's something you got to between you and the Lord. You got to dip. Some people are just there waiting. You got to dip. Go ahead and stand. It says dip 7 times, and some people are just there, nothing's happening, but they haven't dipped. Or they've dipped 1 time and they've been there 3 times and 4 times and they stop and they, you know, and we spend 10, 20, 30 years living how we used to live, and then we come to God and we give God 6 months and it ain't worked in 6 months. How many people know? That's just a one dip. Got a dip. Bible says he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. 7 is symbolic of fullness. Fullness. Total. Complete. Stuck with it, dipped until what needed to happen or manifest as transpired. He saw God. He knew, now he knows God. In this reality as the healer, he held to what he was told, and now he's liberated into a destiny of health and well-being. Are you seeing that? His flesh was restored and he became clean like that of a young boy. He stepped out. It was somewhere he didn't want to go. It was something he didn't want to do. It was unfamiliar to him. He made a big hoo-ha about it. But the principle is this: unless he had come out of that familiar, or what he thought was right, or what he thought was wrong, unless he had let go of whatever ego or worth that he felt he had, amen, from the world, and realize that he's going to find his worth in God and his value in God, he would have never have known God the way, or experienced God, or encountered what God done for him in life. How many people know we need to be knowing God, experiencing God, encountering him? Praise the Lord. Just lift your hands. We're going to pray. And we're going to just close in a moment. Okay. Now that your hands are lifted, begin to pray into what you heard God speaking to you. Have a conversation with the Lord. "Yeah, but I'm not used to doing this." That's all right. This is how you get to know God. If you don't do it, then you're going to stay the same. Come on, step out, begin to pray. Come on. Now, just lift your voice a bit. Come on, speak out to him. Get brave. Press. Don't worry about who's next to you. Don't worry about who you came with. Come on, press. Press through something. Press through the fear in your mind. Press through. Press through the fear. Press through the familiar territory and go into the unfamiliar. Come on, pray, pray. Express yourself to God. Talk to God. Come on, talk to God. Come on. Talk to him. Open your heart to him. Ask him to show you the areas of your life, things that you need to break away from, things that you need to reject and resist.